Shrishtva Purana Vividanya Jaya Trashatya
Shrishtva Purana Vividanya Jaya Trashatya
Rikshan Sariskriya Pashun Kagadanda Shukam
Rikshan Sariskriya Pashun Kagadanda Shukam
Taistairatusta Hridaya Purusham Vidaya
Taistairatusta Hridaya Purusham Vidaya
Brahma Valoka Dishanam Mudam Apadeva
Brahma Valoka Dishanam Mudam Apadeva
Shrishtva
Shrishtva
Having created.
Having created.
Purani.
Purani.
Material bodies that have the conditioned souls.
Material bodies that have the conditioned souls.
Vividani.
Vividani.
Many varieties.
Many varieties.
Ajaya.
Ajaya.
Through the agency of Maya.
Through the agency of Maya.
Atma Shaktya.
Atma Shaktya.
The Lord's own potency.
The Lord's own potency.
The Vriksham.
Vriksham.
Trees.
Trees.
Sarish. No, sorry. Sarisripa.
Sarisripa.
Reptiles.
Reptiles.
Pashun.
Pashun.
Animals.
Animals.
Kaga.
Kaga.
Birds.
Birds.
Dandashukam.
Dandashukam.
Snakes.
Snakes.
Tai Tai.
Tai Tai.
By all these different varieties of bodies.
By all these different varieties of bodies.
Atushta.
Atushta.
Unsatisfied.
Unsatisfied.
Hridaya.
Hridaya.
His heart.
His heart.
Purusham.
Purusham.
The human form of life.
The human form of life.
Vidaya.
Vidaya.
Creating.
Creating.
Brahma.
Brahma.
The absolute truth.
The absolute truth.
Avaloka.
Avaloka.
Vision of.
Vision of.
Dishanam.
Dishanam.
Intelligence suitable for.
Intelligence suitable for.
Mudam.
Mudam.
Happiness.
Happiness.
Apa.
Apa.
Achieved.
Achieved.
Deva.
Deva.
The Lord.
The Lord.
Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expanding His own potency, Maya Shakti, created innumerable species of life to house the conditioned souls. Yet by creating the forms of trees, reptiles, animals, birds, snakes, and so on, the Lord was not satisfied within His heart. Then He created human life, which offers the conditioned soul sufficient intelligence to perceive the absolute truth and become pleased. Purport. God has specifically created the human form of life to facilitate the liberation of the conditioned soul. Therefore, one who abuses human life prepares his path to hell. As stated in the Vedas, Puru Shatwe Cha Vistaram Atma. In the human form of life, there is good possibility of understanding the eternal soul. The Vedas also state, Tavyo Gam Anayat Ta Abhuvan. Navayo yam alamiti tabyo swam anayat ta abhuvan. Navayo yam alamiti tabya purusham anayat ta abhuvan sukritam bata. The purport of this Shruti mantra is that lower forms of life, such as the cow and the horse, are not actually suitable to fulfill the purpose of creation, but human life awards the opportunity to understand one's eternal relationship with God. Thus one must control the material senses and fulfill the real purpose of human life. If one takes to Krishna consciousness, the Supreme Lord personally feels happiness and gradually reveals Himself to His devotee. The Lord's material creation consists of the living entities and dead matter, which the less intelligent try to enjoy. The Lord, however, is not satisfied by those species that blindly strive for sense gratification without understanding spiritual nature. We are suffering due to our forgetfulness of Krishna and the blissful situation of His abode. If we accept the Lord as protector and shelter and execute His order, we can easily revive our eternal, blissful nature as parts and parcels of the personality of Godhead. It is for this purpose that the Lord has created human life. Om Agyanti Manandashya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Didati Swapadantikam Ancha Kalpatu Rubyascha Kripa Sundu Vyeva Cha Katitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnava Vyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So it is mentioned in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says in one purport, that there are two reasons why God created the material world. What are the two reasons why this material world exists? Yes, sir.
First, to enjoy, for the human being to enjoy their desires, whatever desire they have, so they can enjoy. And secondly, to control them and take them to the future.
Like that, yeah.
So the tradition.
So the first reason why Krishna creates the material world is so that living entities can facilitate their desire to enjoy separately from Him. Because living entities desire to be separate from God. So Krishna is very merciful and very powerful. Krishna facilitates that desire. If you want to enjoy separately from Krishna, then Krishna gives you facility. Just like if someone is very powerful, very wealthy, then you may have a desire to enjoy. So the person says, here, I'll take my credit card, you can go and enjoy as you like. So Krishna is so potent that we just have a tiny desire to enjoy separately from Him. He gives us an entire universe to try to fulfill your desire. Here, have a universe. Like that. And then He puts us all in here together. Just to make it a little more interesting. Right? Billions of us. So we all get locked into this little universe together, and everyone in the universe thinks the same thing. Ishwaroham ahambhogi, siddhoham balavansuki. Everyone in this universe thinks, I am God. I am supreme. I am the enjoyer. I am the center of the universe, and all of you are here to assist me in fulfilling my desires, to be satisfied. So when you get billions of living entities who are thinking in this way, then what takes place?
Struggle.
Yeah, there'll be chaos. Because everyone is thinking like that. That I am meant to enjoy. That. Especially, as pointed out in this verse, in the lower species of life. This is very prevalent. We don't find this in the human form of life even as much as we do in the animal species. Because in the animal species, there is constantly fear. Because the four activities of animal life and of all life in this material world is eating, sleeping, mating and defending. But of those four, the most overwhelming of the four is fear or defense. Because in the animal kingdom, that's all it's about. Just like, for example, at the farm, you know, we come out in the morning and we see, oh, there's beautiful birds around in the trees and everyone's chirping and such beautiful noises and kangaroos are hopping and, you know, and you go to other places in the world and you see, oh, it's all so beautiful, there's deer, you know, just walking around and everything. But for the animals, it's not like that. The animals are constantly in fear. Right? Just like if you notice when the birds eat, right, the birds eat and then they look around. They don't have peace for 1 second. Right? Because constantly they're thinking something is about to come and devour them. Continuously. Right? Their whole life is based upon fear. Right? So that is the prevalent nature of the material world. Basically, it is fear. Right? It is defense. Constantly you have to defend yourself. The birds do not have stomachs. Birds don't have stomachs. That's why they pass through continuously. You see, like, one time Prabhupada was walking in a park in America. I think it was Golden Gate Park, maybe, or somewhere. Prabhupada was walking. And as he's walking, he saw underneath a tree there was a pile of bird stool. And Prabhupada stopped and he said, "What does this mean? What did it mean?" There's a pile of bird stool under the tree. What does it mean? There's birds in the tree. Yeah, that's the first part. That's good. At least you've worked that part out. So that's good. But there's a little more to it than that. Prabhupada said, even the birds become attached to their home. Because he comes back to the same nest every time. So much attachment. And the material world, living entities become so attached. Aham mamati. You become attached to your home. Like that. This is my griha. This is my home. Like that. So passing stool in the same place. So the birds, they don't have a stomach. They don't have stomachs. That's why they eat and it just goes. So it means if you don't have a stomach, what does that mean? Yeah, you have to constantly eat. Because we eat, we have breakfast and then we've got storage capacity. That's why God gives you a stomach. So you've got storage capacity. So that'll keep you going till lunch. But the birds, they cannot do that. So they have to eat all day. That's what you see. As soon as they wake up, they just start eating. They have to eat continuously. And while they're eating, they're constantly in fear. So it's not pleasant. So this is what the material world is like. All the species of life are like this. Full of fear. So, in the material world, you want to enjoy separately from God, so Krishna says, okay, now go and enjoy. But what is really the enjoyment? In the animal species of life, there's not really enjoyment. It is primarily suffering. Just like sometimes, we preach to people, we go to some New Age festival or something, and then we ask the question, what would you like to be in your next life? If you could be anything, what would you be in your next life? Right? And then people say, I'd like to be an eagle, or I'd like to be a dolphin, or I'd like to be a, and they have all these ideas that whatever these species of life are, they'll be happy. Do you think dolphins are happy? Right? Go and put your foot in the ocean. Right? Go walk down the beach now and put your foot in. Right? What's the temperature like? Right? It's freezing. And how would you like to be in the water all day? Just been freezing cold. Like that. It's not pleasant. Right? And dolphins are in fear. Right? There's always some other shark or some other, there's competitors in the water. So it's not pleasant. So therefore, Krishna, he gives, the living entities want to enjoy, so Krishna says, okay, you go and enjoy. Here's your kshetra. Here is your field of enjoyment. Right? But in that field, you cannot enjoy so much. Right? Krishna says, dukalayam ashashvatam. Mainly you will suffer. You will not actually enjoy, mainly you will suffer. We have to understand this point. What is this chapter called?
Detachment
from all that is material. You have to become detached from this material world. You can't advance in Krishna consciousness until you become detached from this world. How can you be a devotee and simultaneously be holding on to Maya? Right? At some point in time, you have to make your choice if you want to go into the spiritual world. You can hold on to Maya to some degree in this material world and still practice Krishna consciousness. But to go back to the spiritual world, you have to let go of Maya. One time Prabhupada was in France and he was on a morning walk with one of his disciples, I think it was Rupa Velasquez. And he said, Prabhupada was walking and Prabhupada stopped. Yes, Prabhupada would just say things sometimes. Because Prabhupada's mind was on the transcendental platform. He was contemplating things continuously. Like that. So devotees did not understand what he would say next, because his consciousness was so elevated. Even one time, Shyama Sundar Prabhu was in a train with Prabhupada, and they were travelling in the middle of the night. Prabhupada would sleep for about 2 hours a night. He would go to bed around about 10:30 and get up at 12:30. So they'd been talking. Shyama Sundar Prabhu and Prabhupada were in the carriage in the train. They had been talking, and then Prabhupada took rest at about 10:30, and then at about 11:30. Shyama Sundar was taking rest, and it's, you know what it's like when we take rest. It's not like when Prabhupada took rest. And when Prabhupada took rest, there was still consciousness. When we take rest, you know, it's just, there's nothing. It's just like a log. You know. So Shyama Sundar Prabhu was asleep, and then suddenly you hear Prabhupada saying, "Shyama Sundar, Shyama Sundar." So he woke up. Right? And Prabhupada was sitting up on his sleeper in the carriage. Prabhupada was sitting up. He said, "Shyama Sundar, take dictation." So Shyama Sundar just like got up and grabbed his pen and his notebook and just started. Prabhupada started, you know, had some managerial issue that he wanted to record, or I don't know what it was that Prabhupada, you know, was thinking. But he wasn't like us. When we sleep, then that's it. nothing else going on. But when Prabhupada sleeps, then he's conscious, he's still thinking about his service to Krishna. So one time he was on a morning walk in France, and he just stopped, and he turned around to the devotees and said, "Why are the Grihasthas in Maya?" Right? He said, "Why are the Grihasthas in Maya?" Right? And all the devotees just looked at Prabhupada. Right? He said, "Why are the Grihasthas in Maya?" Everyone was just looking at Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada said, "That is okay. That is their position." So it means that, as devotees, we are still Kama Mishra. It means that we still have material desires. We still have attachments. We're practicing devotional service, but we're still very tightly holding on to the material world simultaneously. But if you continue to hold on to the material world at the time of death, even though you're practicing devotional service, you'll just take birth again in this material world to continue devotional service, but it will be in this material world. It will not be transcendental devotional service. You will not transcend the material energy. So therefore, Krishna says in this chapter, this is the Lord himself speaking to Uddhava, this chapter is called detachment from all that is material. Because devotional service, right, real devotional service, begins when you become detached from the material energy. If you are attached to the material energy, devotional service, transcendental devotional service, has not begun yet. It is sadhana bhakti. It is vaidhi bhakti. It is a practicing devotional service. We are practicing. But until we become detached from matter, then we haven't really began transcendental devotional service as yet. So Krishna gives the living entities, if they desire to enjoy separately from him, then he gives facility. You all go and try to enjoy. Right? And so many different species of life, that's what they are doing. They're trying to enjoy separately from Krishna. But then, as it says here in this verse, then the Lord, he sees, "I am not satisfied simply with these animal species, these lower species, because there is no proclivity or no desire to elevate one's consciousness. If you misuse the human form of life, you take birth in a lower species. When you're in a lower species, you don't accrue any more karma. If you take birth as a tree, then that is your karma. That is your reaction for misusing the human form of life. Now you're a tree. So as a tree, you have to gradually evolve through the different species. You go from being a tree to an insect, from an insect to a reptile, from a reptile to a bird, from a bird to animals, from animals back to being a human. So you don't have any opportunity to evolve any more karma. That is just your reaction, and you live it out. Then when you become a human again, then you have the opportunity to elevate your consciousness once again, to go to something higher. You can either evolve or you can devolve, right, in human form of life. You have an opportunity To elevate your consciousness or to bring it down? So Krishna created this material world for two reasons. Right? The first reason is to facilitate everyone's desire to enjoy separately. But then the second reason is that if anyone wants to come back to the spiritual world, then Krishna gives facility that you can come back to the spiritual world. So the human form of life is the only opportunity that the humans have in order to come back to that living entity's had, to come back to the spiritual world, to evolve their consciousness. Now, we were discussing last night in the fourth canto, in the Bhakti Vaibhava course, in the eighth chapter of the fourth canto, the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj. Now, Prabhupada gave some very enlightening purports to explain our situation in the material world. Now, Dhruva Maharaj, he performed severe austerity in order to release himself from the material world. Because, as it says here in this this chapter is called Detachment from All That Is Material. So if you want to become detached from this material creation, there's a process of detachment. That's what the spiritual processes are for. The process of yoga, of tapasya, of jnana, right, of Ashtanga yoga, all these different processes, one of their elements is to detach you from the material world. Because until you're detached, then you can't transcend. So therefore, Dhruva Maharaj, he had a very severe practice. Does anyone remember last night we read? What was the practice? First month that he began his practice, every 3 days he would only eat berries. That's how focused he was. Just enough to keep his body and his soul together. That's how absorbed he was in trying to achieve his goal. So he only ate berries. And then in the second month, every, I think it's 5 days, he only ate dry leaf and grass. And then in the third month, once a week or every 9th day, he only drank water. And then, I think in the 4th month, every 12 days, I think it was, he took one breath of air. He just took one breath every 12 days in the fourth month. And in the 5th month, he saw the Paramatma within his heart. Right? So what does Prabhupada extract from that pastime of Dhruva Maharaj? What can we learn?
Determination.
Right? Bhagavad Gita says, akama, sava kama va. Moksha kama, udaridi. Tivrena, bhakti yogena, yajata, purusham, puram. Tivrena, bhakti yogena. Tivrena means?
Intense.
Right? Intense, determined bhakti. If you want to get out of this material world, hands up if you want to get out of this material world. Yeah, we all say it. Yeah, I want to get out. I want to go out of the material world. Right? I want to go to Disneyland. It's like that. That's what we're like. We're just like children. You want to go? Yeah, I want to go. And I'm not really serious. We haven't become really serious to transcend this material energy. You have to become serious. Serious means tibhrena. Tibhrena means intense. Determination. Krishna says in the Gita, you have to take a dridha vrata. What is a dridha vrata? Fixed vow, right? Determined vow. No turning back. Just fix. This is the kind of bhakti it takes in order to get out of the material world. So this is called Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. Now, Dhruva Maharaj, he became very determined So Prabhupada said in the purport last night, Prabhupada said that we should finish our job in one lifetime. We should finish all of this in this lifetime. What are you waiting around for? Why are you waiting to do it in the next lifetime? Do you think it will be easier in the next lifetime? How do you know which body you will get? How do you know where you will be born? How do you know what your situation will be? How do you know what Kali Yuga will be like? Kali Yuga might change rapidly in our lifetime. Just sit around and watch. We don't know what's going to happen. The world is more volatile now than it ever has been before. We don't know. Anything could happen at any time. It's all the places, all the pieces are in place. Anything could happen. It's all volatile. Yeah. So how do you know what it's going to be like next time around? So Prabhupada said, you finish your job in this lifetime. Riddhavrata, become fixed, determined. This is Tivraina, this is intense devotion. So we take that from Dhruva Maharaj. However, that's as much as we can take from Dhruva Maharaj's example. Prabhupada said the rest of it is not possible for us. Hands up if you can eat berries every 3 days. Hands up if you can eat berries once a day. That's all. Just berries. Once a day, berries. Hands up if you can do it one time a day. Only berries. Maybe we can do that, but that's as far as we go. So then Prabhupada says in the purport that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made everything very easy. But Mahaprabhu has, Prabhupada says, Mahaprabhu has made everything as liberal as he can. Everything has come down to the minimal standard requirement. But you must meet the minimum standard requirement. You can't go below the minimum. You can't say, oh, I'm too fallen for the minimum. No, Mahaprabhu has always said, this is the minimum. It doesn't go below this. This is, in Kali Yuga, this is the minimum. So what is the minimum?
Minimum is 4 liberated from students and 16 rounds every day.
Yeah. And there's one other thing that Prabhupada mentioned also. Okay? So, 4 requisite principles, not 3. Not 3.5. It's not 3.5. It's 4. Right? Because the one that the devotees have the most problem with is illicit sex. Right? That's the most difficult of the 4 for most people. Right? So then, sometimes people, they make it 3.5. Well, I'm only having sex inside marriage. Right? Which is better than having sex outside of marriage. But it's 3.5, it's not 4. Right? Mahaprabhu says 4 regulative principles. Right? And on top of 4 regulative principles, then that is the nisheda, or the things that you must not do, but then there's one viti. Right? The viti is chant 16 rounds a day. Now, when Prabhupada first he had a conversation with Mukunda Maharaj in about 1968, I think it was. Or it might have even been 66, but I think it was about 68. And Prabhupada said to Mukunda Maharaj, I want you to chant 16. You're one of my senior disciples now. Yeah? He'd been a devotee for 2 years. And Prabhupada said, you're one of my senior disciples now. He said, I want you to chant 64 rounds a day. Like that. And Mukunda Maharaj just looked at Prabhupada. And Prabhupada looked at Mukunda Maharaj and he said, okay, 32. And Mukunda Maharaj just looked at Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada said, minimum 16. So this is the minimum requirement in Kali Yuga if you want to go back to the spiritual world. 4 regulative principles, 16 rounds minimum. Attentive rounds. Right? There's a whole science and how to chant. Okay. And then Prabhupada says one other thing. And then he says, to go back to the spiritual world, right, you have to be fixed and you must follow 4 regular principles, chant 16 rounds a day attentively, And then he said, only honor Krishna Prasad, not Bhoga Prasad. Because Prasad purifies your consciousness. Prabhupada said that if you eat grains which are not cooked by devotees, your mind becomes wicked. If you eat grains which are cooked by non-devotees, your mind becomes wicked. Okay? And our minds are crazy enough already. You don't need much more. So then why put more in there? Right? Our minds are already out of control. Right? And then you just put more material desires in there. By taking grains which are cooked by the non-devotees. So this is the minimum standard. If you want to go back to the spiritual world, if you are determined to go back to the spiritual world, you must adopt these principles. This is Mahaprabhu's minimal standard. Right? So this is using the human form of life appropriately. This is how to use the human form of life. Right? This is the minimum requirement. If you are serious about going back to the spiritual world, if you are serious about transcending the material nature, if you are serious about becoming detached, as Krishna says in this chapter, detached from all that is material, then you must follow these minimum requirements. Right? Now there is one extra element which will make everything successful. Right? That's the basic, Mahaprabhu says, okay, that's the basic platform. Now there's one element, which is the secret of how to get out of this material world. But we're running out of time, so I don't have time to tell everyone, so we'll ask if anyone has any questions or comments at this point. Go on, I was joking. Okay, there's one secret. What is the secret? What is the one extra element that makes everything successful in spiritual life? Whoever gets it right gets a plate of halva for breakfast.
Mercy.
Sorry. Mercy? Yeah, it's true. But it's even more defined.
Endeavour?
Yeah, that's part of it. But there's one element which fulfills everything. That is the essential element. Prabhupada says that the secret of success in spiritual life is to perfectly follow the instructions that you receive from your guru, because that is how Dhruva Maharaj became perfect. Okay? He followed everything, because Narada Muni said, now go to the forest. Right? Go to the forest and you will become perfect. Right? So he followed exactly what he was instructed by Narada. Narada said, this is your mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. That was his mantra. He chanted in the forest. Right? Our mantra is the Maha Mantra. Right? That is what we chant. No. But Dhruva Maharaj was given that mantra. And he was given different instructions by Narada. And because he followed the instructions which were given to him by his guru perfectly, then he became fully successful. So Prabhupada says this is the secret in spiritual life. You don't have to meditate on anything else. Prabhupada says don't try to see Krishna in Vrindavan by looking for Krishna in the bushes. Prabhupada said you won't find Krishna in the bushes in Vrindavan. You can walk around all day, all around Govardhan Hill. You're looking, where is Krishna? Is he behind this tree? Where is he? You won't find him. Prabhupada says, if you follow the instruction of your guru perfectly, he said, very soon you will see Krishna face to face. That is how potent following the instruction of the guru is. So we take the instruction of the guru. Prabhupada says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the instruction of the guru is the pride of the disciple. Yeah? Prabhupada said it is the life and soul of the disciple. We take the instruction of our guru, we keep it in our heart. And we keep it locked up very safely, very tightly. Right? This is my instruction from my Guru Maharaj. And this is my life and my soul, is to follow this instruction. And if you do that, there's so much potency in the instruction of our Guru, we will go back to Godhead in this lifetime, if we are serious. That is our process. The process is very simple in Kali Yuga. Our problem is that we lock everything else up in our heart as well. Right? We open up our safe in our heart, we put in our Guru's instruction, and before we shut the door, we put a few other things in there as well. But I also have to get married, and I also have to, you know, have this kind of material situation, and I need this much recognition from all the other devotees, and I need, you know, a nice watch, and I need, you know, we have all these other things in there. And all these anattas, they distract us from our primary duty. And what is our primary duty? Is to serve the instruction of our Guru. And that is how we become perfect in spiritual life. So the process is very simple. And Prabhupada said it is simple for thee. And it's complicated for thee. So, hands up if you're a complicated devotee. Hands up if you're a simple devotee. You're a Christian. So it's up to you. Make it simple or make it complicated. That's up to you. You make it complicated. Krishna doesn't make it complicated. Right? Prabhupada doesn't make it complicated. Your guru doesn't make it complicated. Radha Balava doesn't make it complicated. We make it complicated. Prabhupada said, one devotee said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, I have so many problems." Prabhupada said, "You bring those problems in front of me." He said, "Put them in front of me." And he said, "With one kick, I will remove all of your problems." Right? So what is our problem? Our problem is we don't bring the problems before Prabhupada. Yeah, we want to spend all our days, you know, just absorbed in our problems. Oh, I've got this problem and I'm enjoying so much this problem. And Burujan Prabhu said one time, he said, we become attached in the material world to suffering. Right? In the material world, we actually enjoy suffering. We become attached. Oh, you know, I can't exist unless I have all these problems. Right? Oh, you know, I haven't got married yet and I can't find the right partner. Right? Yeah, I've also got to get married, and then when I get married, then I've got to have the right partner, and then I need to get married as well. So, yeah, we just go on with all those stupid things, and then other things as well. That's the main one. Okay. If you think marriage is good, then just read the Bhagavad Gita. We think all our problems will be solved when we get married. Then what happens when you get married? Huh? No, then you wish you were a brahmachari or a brahmacharini. Right? And then when you get married, right? And then when you're a brahmachari, you think, oh, when I'm married, everything will be okay. And when you get married, then you think, what the hell did I do? Okay. That is the material world. Problems, you cannot solve the problems by other problems. Right? That is not the answer. How are you going to solve your problems? Right? I'll create another problem to solve that problem. Right? I've got a problem. I have a material desire. Right? So how will I solve it? Oh, I have another material desire to solve it. It doesn't work like that. Right? So, therefore, if you do want to get married, no, because that's our biggest problem in the material world, then Krishna is very merciful. Mahaprabhu is very merciful. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that marriage or Grihastha Ashram is a very good position for Vaishnavas in Kali Yuga. Because most Vaishnavas in Kali Yuga can't do anything else. And most Vaishnavas in Kali Yuga, they try to remain renounced, they'll become very disturbed or very eccentric or a little crazy like that. Most, not all. There are devotees who can be renounced also. But generally, Vaishnavas, they'll get married. Grihastha Ashram. But Grihastha Ashram, it is meant for spiritual progress. That is the point of it. It's not meant for material enjoyment. Because you can't enjoy it in the material world. So don't be deluded. Right? Go into Grihastha Ashram with the right attitude. That I am the primary reason why I'm in this ashram is to serve Krishna. I have material desires, I am contaminated, I am fallen, but I want to become purified. So Krishna says, okay, here's a Grihastha Ashram. Here's a place that with your contaminated consciousness you can gradually evolve yourself and purify yourself. So Mahaprabhu has made everything as easy as possible in this age. Simply we have to follow. And if we follow these very simple things, we will attain perfection. Okay. So we'll stop here. We'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed.
Would you like to tell us how we define Krishna consciousness?
You asked this question to someone. Who'd you ask it to?
Yeah, he went on and described that put Krishna into consciousness. Then becomes, but I don't think it is full Krishna consciousness. Because we are putting Krishna in the consciousness, but
yeah, but we're not putting Krishna, we're not really putting Krishna not fully in our consciousness.
Okay. So there is something more.
Yeah, something more means the tivrena, means the intensity. Because we can say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. That's putting Krishna in our consciousness. But what is the, Prabhupada said, what is the mood when you're calling? He says in the eighth chapter, what is the eighth chapter of the first canto? Prayer of Queen Kuti. Yeah. So he says, Prabhupada says in one of the purports in the eighth chapter of the first canto, he says that there is a quality to the call. When you chant, right, there's a quality, how you chant. Everyone can chant, everyone can say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But it's how you chant.
Unless you try to thank for mother.
Yeah, that's what Prabhupada says. So that's Krishna consciousness. You say I'm doing everything, but are you chanting like that? So then?
Not at all.
Yeah, so then how do we expect to be fully Krishna conscious? When you get serious, then Krishna will get serious. Krishna's already serious. You think Krishna is interested in this material world? Krishna is absorbed in the spiritual creation. Krishna is absorbed in Vrindavan Dham. So when you become absorbed in Vrindavan Dham, then you will have something to relate to with Krishna. And then Krishna might say, okay, come, be a part of this. But if you're not absorbed in Vrindavan, then Krishna will say, okay, then whatever you're absorbed in, I'll let you have that. Yam yam, va pi, smaram, va van. Whatever you're thinking of, then you can have that. But if you're thinking of Vrindavan, then Krishna will say, okay, then come. Because what is Krishna thinking of? What does Krishna think of all day? He only thinks of one thing all day. What does he think of? Is that?
Radharani.
Yeah, Srimati Radharani. That's all he thinks about all day. That's all he thinks about. When he's with Mother Yashoda and Nandamaras, he's only thinking about Radharani. When he's with all the cowherd boys, he's only thinking about Radharani. When he's with all the gopis, he's only thinking about Radharani. Sometimes he goes at night time, then he escapes from Nandagram, and Radharani escapes in Varshana or Javad. And they go and meet. Sometimes when Krishna arrives, because they send messages during the day, where are we going to meet tonight? So then finally Krishna runs into the forest and all the gopis are there. And he gets there and he looks around and Radharani's not there. And he says, he looks at her and he says, where's Radharani? And they say, oh, she couldn't make it tonight. She couldn't escape tonight. She couldn't get out of Jabba tonight. They kept her there. And Radharani is actually just hiding behind one of the trees. She's just hiding there, just listening to what Krishna will do. And then as soon as they find out that she finds out that Radharani couldn't come tonight, then he begins to cry. And he says, Radharani's not here, how can I enjoy? And then she steps out from behind the tree. Like that. So that's all he's thinking about. So when you get to that level of consciousness, right, where you're only thinking about how to serve Radha and Krishna, how to bring them together, how to serve them and please them, then Krishna says, okay, sure. But is your chanting like that? Are you meditating on that? Is that your heart's desire while you chant? What is your heart's desire while you chant? No, but is it actually that? It's alright to say, I want to serve Radha and Krishna. Is that actually what the heart's desire is? When that becomes intense, right, like a burning fire, not like a little spark, but like a burning fire, when that's intense, then you can enter into the fast times. Does that make sense?
The other thing is to breathe the holy name. You might die or...
Yeah, but preach the holy name, but simultaneously, then one has to develop that inner consciousness itself. You can preach, but part of the preaching is that you also have to cultivate the holy name. Not that you just give it to everyone else, but you don't cultivate it yourself. The whole mood of a devotee is that he's cultivating that mood, just like it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Before the Panchatattva distributed love of Godhead, they plundered the storehouse and they drank it all themselves. And when they were fully intoxicated and satisfied, then they distributed it. So if you're not tasting anything, what will you distribute? Does that answer what you
want? You have to get intoxicated.
Yes, you have to get intoxicated. That is the sum and substance of our philosophy. You must become intoxicated. Because if you look at everyone on the altar, you look on Gaur Nitai's altar, right? And who's on Gaur Nitai's altar? Right? The previous acharyas, right? The six Goswamis, the Panchatattva, they're all intoxicated. So when you become like them, right, when you're intoxicated like them, by their mercy, then you can also enter onto that altar. So, any other question or comment? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.